The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tastytrade is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Cramer's at One Market in San Francisco. Futures kind of steady here as we get a good start to retail earnings season. Home Depot blows it out. Walmart raises guidance. Overall retail sales above expectations, up for the third straight month. Our roadmap begins with those retail sales surprising to the upside. Walmart's Doug McMillon is going to join us exclusively.
Plus, we are still keeping a close eye on those EVs. Shares of Rivian and Lucid surging once again ahead of the open. Tesla pulling back amid CEO Elon Musk's continued sale of stock.
And cryptocurrencies retreating from some record levels. Bitcoin briefly drops below 60K today. Jim, choose your player, Walmart or Home Depot. What's the more impressive one today?
Well, look, I have to tell you, Home Depot's got no flaws whatsoever. They literally just said, look, things are good. Better than expected. There's great demand. And you come back from Home Depot and you say, you know what? What people want is to redo their place. And it's continuing now that the pandemic is running its course. Much stronger because I think there are a lot of people who felt that, well, hold it. I mean, now that the pandemic's over, I mean, there's still more to do with their house. But the answer is, of course, people want to make their house into an office. There's plenty of money around. It seems to be going more to Home Depot than I certainly expected.
Yeah. Transactions, though, at Depot, down about 5. They made up for it, obviously, on ticket. Any reason to worry there?
No. Look, I think they're going pro. We have to hear what Marvin Ellison says tomorrow at Lowe's. But you can look at Home Depot as through the ticket eyes, or you can look at Home Depot through the fact that it was supposed to not have a good quarter, that people were really looking for the idea that the best quarters were behind them. We kept hearing that at Home Depot. I just don't understand how people can think the best quarters are behind a company that's deeply involved with the changing workforce and the hybrid work model. David, when we look at a Home Depot, what we should be thinking immediately is, you know what? Your home is your office. Where do you go to do that? Where does the contractor go, which is more important right now? Less do-it-yourself, more contractor. So, David, Home Depot's in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be, Jim. And, of course, the stock, as we see right there, already having a very nice move over the last couple of years. Listen, Walmart equally impressive, even if the stock doesn't look to be up right now. In fact, to Carl's point, their comp transactions were up 5.7%. When you look at a two-year, what they call a two-year stack, meaning how have sales grown over the last 2 years, 15.6%, and comp sales up 9.2%. Jim, a theme I've been hearing for a while is the big are in a much better position dealing with their supply chain, given their scale, given their leverage that they have with vendors and everything else to deal with the current morass than some smaller retailers. And in fact, this will only exacerbate the division between small and big. We're not even talking online versus in-store. Here I'm just talking the big are benefiting in part because they have more control over their supply chain.
Totally. I mean, look, this is an issue of scale. When I'm out here, every single person talks about scale. Well, Walmart has it. They have a flywheel going here with their e-commerce play. The numbers were extraordinary. Now, Walmart's a very, as we'll hear from Doug McMillon when we speak to him, Walmart's an honest company. And they say, listen, there's some pressure. Inflationary pressure. Obviously, they're taking share. I like share versus them cutting price and worrying about gross margin. Obviously, the market seems to be possessed by gross margin, Dave, just possessed, as if Walmart has to raise prices and not lose any customers. Carl, Walmart is an inflation fighter first and foremost, okay? And then second, they are a share taker in grocery. And the idea that the stock's down is really a problem with Wall Street, not a problem with the company. The company is delivering exactly what we want.
Yeah, nothing new. Classic response on Walmart shares to earnings that I think in many cases trades down on the print. You mentioned grocery, U.S. grocery up 10, Jim, and margins down, what, 40 basis points? I mean, they are clearly able to make up for it and hence the raise guidance.
You know, when I see that the gross margin was down a little on a retailer in this environment, I know everybody's going to hate it. And the stock was up 3 initially before we sussed out the gross margin. And when we speak to Doug, we have to talk about the idea of what it's like to decide to really run the table against every other retailer that's not, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's notwithstanding. And I think that Doug is competing aggressively against Amazon, competing aggressively against Costco. And I think he's winning his share. I want to hear about what brick and mortar advantage when it comes to omnichannel. But David, look, you cover Walmart longer than anybody. You know that Walmart is pro-consumer. Do you think that the pro-consumer attitude meant that they didn't take the price increases that they could have?
Probably, to a certain extent. And listen, they go, they're obviously great merchants as well, and they're making decisions in certain areas where to be very competitive, and others perhaps where they think they can take price.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that is the mantra of the company, right? It's still about living better and saving money. And that has been ever since the days of Sam Walton. I appreciate your saying that. I haven't focused on Walmart as quite as closely as I did for a number of years there when we did 2 documentaries, Jim. But yes, that has typically been the case. You know, my question to you would be, listen, Walmart made, what, $5.8 billion in operating income?
Yeah.
This quarter. Home Depot, $4.1 billion. Not hearing anything more, though, about return of capital at this point. You know, Walmart says they repurchased 7.4 billion shares year to date. About 35% of their $20 billion. Yeah.
I thought that was heavyweight, that buyback. But you're right, David. Mm-hmm. I mean, are they returning capital at the rate that you want, say, Chevron, which I had last night at Mike Worth? Well, the answer is that they're still growing, and they're still taking share. But you know what we got to talk about? My Walmart, David, very curiously, was out of a lot of things. Particularly out of anything sporting goods related. And it also was sparsely staffed. And I want to know from Doug, how are they getting staff? I mean, Carl, you know, in the Great Resignation, what is the Great Resignation about? It's people who say, you know what? My job is repetitive. I don't want to do it anymore. I realize how life is short and precious. That's kind of what the pandemic did, except for we didn't have to go to war to do it. We just stayed home. But, you know, Carl, we got to ask, are people wanting to stay and continuing to work at Walmart? Because maybe that has to do with gross margin pressure, too. When you train people who are new people, that training is a dead weight loss. That's why Costco is so good. No one ever leaves. So I don't know. I want to know about staffing, and I want to know about the aisles that I went to, Carl, that didn't have any merchandise.
It's a good point. Jefferies had a note out yesterday about the Great Resignation. One of their takeaways, Jim, compensation, the number one reason that employees quit. Burnout prevalent across industries, flexibility, the new normal, 80% surveyed support a 4-day work week.
Yes.
I don't know what the other 20% are thinking.
I don't know. But this 4-day work week, Jim, I mean, I'm sure it comes up in the conversations you're having with CEOs out there, in particular, so much of their workforce is remote when it comes to the tech world, and many of them don't have an expectation people are going to come back, maybe at all, but certainly not 5 days a week. 4 days a week now seems to be the norm in terms of at least the most you can expect.
Well, that's why you need artificial intelligence.
Coming to the office, to Carl's point. But what's going to bring people back to the workforce? You know, is it going to be when they run out of money? What actually is going
on? No, run out of money. I mean, that's what Bank of America would tell you. Brian Moynihan would tell you, listen, everybody's flush. One day they won't be flush, but as they're flush, they're taking advantage of it. That's why I kind of really like travel here, because I think that people are saying, I have not seen the world. The pandemic has opened my eyes. Carl, I don't think we've adjusted enough to the behavior of a post-pandemic world where people are just kind of saying, you know what? I do not want to just sit here and do what I've been doing. I don't really like what I do. I've got a little cash. Let me go do something, anything other than my job. But Carl, in the end, you got to put food on the table. So in the end, these savings do run out. But right now, I think people feel very, very liberated. Can I just say for Walmart, why are we selling it now when this is going to be their greatest holiday season ever, given where the prices are? So I don't know, Carl. I'm more sanguine than most.
Yeah.
As Bespoke has pointed out, Walmart typically opens higher on earnings reaction days, but has fallen from open to close on 12 of the last 14.
Well, let's think about it. What happens? Walmart is the least promotional of any company I know. When we listen to Doug McMillon, will he don the hair suit? Will he become, once again, a steward of David, of good corporate governance, of trying to make it so the American consumer does better and using the scale? I don't know. David, I think that Walmart goes down because it's humble. Humility's a great thing. And I got some. Do you have any?
Yeah, I think I have some. You have humility?
I don't know. It's humility for 50, for 500. I play Jeopardy.
When we come back, an exclusive, as we've said, with the Walmart CEO, Doug McMillon, on the consumer, inflation, supply chain, and a lot more. Don't go anywhere.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Walmart beating on the top and bottom lines, raising its full-year forecast convincingly. Comps also coming in above estimates. Some people are concerned about gross margins. We're going to have to understand where that is. Is it supply chain? Is it labor? Is it just trying to do good for the consumer? So joining us now exclusively to break down the quarter and figure out what's going on is Walmart's president and CEO, Doug McMillon. What a joy, Doug. Thank you so much for coming on Squawk on the Street. Great to see you.
Hey, Jim. Hey, David. Hey, Carl.
All right, so Doug, let's get right to the point here. If I go to the stores, how do they look? How's shopping going for the Christmas holiday? And do you think that you're going to become a go-to destination, given the fact that you're obviously offering the best bargains?
Yeah, Jim, I think it's going to be a strong holiday. Back to school was strong. Halloween was incredibly strong. Thanksgiving and Christmas will be too. I was in Canada last week. Same things happening there. Around the world, seasonal business is going to be strong. And we've got enough inventory to drive sales. We don't have everything we want. But as you saw in the results, we're up about 11% in inventory.
Okay, so let's go over what's going on. I have a view of the stock, which I said transcends the way Wall Street thinks. Doug, I think that you are determined to not pass on price increases. I think everybody has. Every retailer I go to, it's just much more expensive than it was a year ago, but not your place. Is it possible that you're trying to take share, or is there something even bigger about Walmart and its ethos, which is that you are not going to let the American consumer down because you're an inflation fighter?
Jim, it's our purpose. We save people money and help them live a better life. Those are the words that came out of Sam Walton's mouth. He loved to fight inflation. So do we. So, yeah, our cost inflation is higher than our retail inflation, and we could decide to pass more of that on. We're passing enough of that on to deliver for shareholders. I mean, the EPS results speak for themselves. But we're proud to try and hold prices down. And our conversations with suppliers today, tomorrow, will be, you know, how can you help us roll back prices and swim upstream and be different than everybody else? Now, we'll balance things. You know, you can see in the quarterly results that that's what we did. But we start out trying to figure out how to help people save money.
Well, that should be a flywheel effect. People will come and see that you didn't raise prices. And theoretically, that means for 2022, even more market share take. I love the way you took share in grocery, but I think you can extend to that. Is your playbook, once again, going to play into a long-term positive scenario? Or, Doug, is next year an investment year, and once again, gross margins could be dinged because of how much money you're going to put into places?
But Jim, I think it's important that everybody realizes that our business model is changing. We're making money in different ways. Walmart's become more of a digital company, in some ways more of a technology company. We're investing, as I think you know, to transform our technology and to work in different ways. And so we've got some businesses like the advertising income business in the U.S. We call it Walmart Connect, but it's also happening in India with Flipkart and PhonePe, in Mexico with Walmex. It's happening in Walmart Canada. We're taking these higher margin digital businesses and we're starting to scale them, which will help us with that purpose I described earlier. We'll have money to decide whether or not we invest it or it flows to the bottom line. And I think, you know, that business model change is a significant development. And we'll be saying more about that in the future, but it's well underway. And we've been talking about it for a while now.
Nuggets, David. If memory serves, you probably are still the single largest private employer in this country. I know Amazon's hired an awful lot of people over the last couple of years. But, you know, what are you seeing right now on the labor front in terms of your ability to attract and retain talent, and or whether, you know, you're coming up short in part as so many other businesses seem to struggle to find labor?
David, it's much better. Here in the U.S., we saw a pretty significant change as the government stimulus started to go away. And we are in full employment at Sam's Club U.S. Walmart U.S. a few weeks ago really saw a step change in hiring. We're not as concerned about that as we would have been, say, 2 months ago. We're in good shape for the holiday. We've hired a lot of people to help with e-commerce fulfillment and in our supply chain as well as in our stores.
Hey, Doug, the White House had some comments the other day about large retailers and the shelves being adequately stocked for the holiday. Did you give the White House any color? Can you share some of that? And also, some of these, I guess people are calling them novel practices of securing your own freighter to get containers to the U.S. Is that something you're actively involved in?
It is, and we're grateful for the help we've been getting from the administration and others to solve these problems. And one of the things I shared with the president is that our container count coming through the West Coast has kicked up significantly. Now, remember, about two-thirds of what we sell in the United States is made here in the U.S. or grown here in the U.S., so it's that other third. It comes from China, India, Canada, Mexico in particular. So Canada and Mexico, we obviously get some relief, but those containers coming in through the West Coast in particular, our team's done some really creative things. They found some property near one of the ports, which enables the drivers that are authorized to pull those containers out of the port to have a shorter drive so that we can then pick it up and take it ourselves for the longer haul. That is one of the things that the team's done creatively to get more throughput. Our truck drivers have done a fantastic job. Everybody's just worked creatively, and sometimes you hear us say that our scale helps us navigate these things. I think our experience and the creativity of the team is every bit as important as the size of the company.
All right, so Doug, the stock is looking down, and it's not really performed as well as some of the others. You've got a huge amount of firepower. You've got $20 billion authorization. You've only bought 7.4 billion shares to date. Isn't this the time to be able to say, you know what? We have the money to be able to grow, the money to be able to make it so that the consumer is going to do better if they go to Walmart. And it's time for the stockholders, because the stockholders deserve it, because we've been patient. I'm thinking about my charitable trust, which I'm now part of this investment club, where I've been saying, look, this is the time for Walmart for 2022. Isn't this the time to step up to the plate and buy a ton of stock?
And Jim, I think there are some people that wish we were flowing through all of the price increases so that our gross margin would have been higher. We just disagree with that. You know, I think, as I said on the call a few minutes ago, we're managing the bottom line, but the pieces in between, whether it's gross margin, SG&A, or others, we want flexibility to make good decisions for the long-term health of the business on those. Now, we've got a responsibility to grow earnings. We've got a nice dividend. A share repurchase program is part of what we offer as a company. And Frankly, you and I have talked about this before. Basically, everything I have is in Walmart stock, and I love that fact. And I think, you know, our company is worth more than it was, and it'll be worth more in the future. But we do have a long-term bias. And so investors that are in alignment with that probably appreciate the investments that we've made. And I got a question on the last earnings call about investment cycles. And my response was, we'll always be investing. You know, we're going to invest in wages. We're going to invest in automation. At times, we're going to invest in price. But we'll manage the bottom line as we do that, and shifting the business model of the company and becoming more digital is one of the key enablers for us to be able to do both of those things at the same time. The growth numbers, if you look at what's happened just in the last, I think it's 3 years, we've grown by the size of a top 10 U.S. retailer. you know, the absolute numbers in terms of growth and the progress we've made on the bottom line in the last few years, I think kind of speaks for itself. But, you know, the market doesn't always view things the same way that we do. And we'll just keep communicating what our plan is and hopefully attract the right set of investors.
All right, let's talk Walmart Plus. How's the growth there? Are you happy with it? I know that some of Wall Street thinks that you're a little bit stalled. And then leveraging some of your brick and mortar for Walmart Plus, and something, Doug, that you and I have talked about, the idea of using the stores to be able to, say, become great a bank for people, or how about healthcare? Using the stores after what you did with the vaccines to be able to make it so that I want to get my Shingrix, I go to Walmart. If I belong to Walmart Plus, maybe I get a discount on my drugs. You can leverage these things like no other company because of your great brick and mortar presence.
Jim, the stores are a huge advantage, and they're looking better. Our Supercenter remodels look really good. We had a board meeting last week and took our directors to one of our stores, and it has a healthcare clinic in it, and our new signing and some of the new modulars, some new work we're doing in apparel, and I'm really excited about the future of our Supercenters. And they do form a hub of the strategy. They can help with delivery. They can be a magnet as it relates to not only grocery and general merchandise, but also healthcare and other things in the future. And they are a foundational cornerstone of the omnichannel strategy. Walmart Plus is important to us, but we've been careful all the way along to not let just one metric define the company. Walmart's bigger than that and broader than that. And Walmart Plus was initially launched with three value propositions, but the primary one, the most important one, was delivery from the stores. And we launched it during the pandemic. So we had out-of-stock challenges. Our net promoter scores weren't as high as we wanted them to be. Our focus is on the quality of that experience more than the membership count. Over time, we obviously want a lot of members. And when we get a member, they spend more than customers. So, you know, that's attractive. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. And I think the offer for Walmart Plus can continue to grow. But that execution of delivery from the stores and from the e-commerce fulfillment centers, where we've been building capacity and adding to the marketplace. We added 21 million items to the marketplace just last quarter, building fulfillment services. All of these things come together to create a different business. And Walmart will be an important, Walmart Plus will be an important part of that. But it's not the only story.
Doug, it's David again. You and I met years ago at this point when you were running international. I think we were in China together, which leads me to ask about international. We don't talk about it as often. $23.6 billion in sales for the quarter. Obviously, there were a lot of divestitures over the last year as well. You called out in the release China in particular, Mexico, Flipkart, but e-commerce. What are you seeing in those markets that's giving you some confidence potentially?
Yeah. David, thanks for asking about it. We don't talk about international in Sam's enough. I mean, Sam's Club U.S. is a fabulous business, more members than ever, up 13.7% in comp. And yeah, international had a great quarter too, and it's had a great couple of years. Profit grew faster than sales. One of the interesting things, David, your point about e-commerce is that we're actually ahead in our businesses outside the U.S. in terms of digital percentage of where we are in the U.S. In international, we're up to about 19% of our total sales being digital. So that's an order that comes through an app or a website, and we deliver it, and in some cases, really fast, in cases like that in China. But the e-commerce business in Mexico has been growing. This acquisition that we made a few years ago of Flipkart and PhonePe in India is going really well. We're learning things from that business that are helping with our digital transformation. The international business, as part of Walmart, is underappreciated.
All right, Doug, so the one thing I keep hoping to hear from you is that I can get some sort of proposition, bargain, if I join Walmart Plus that is better than Amazon Prime. Something that makes it so it's easier, something that makes it so it's higher quality, something that makes it so that you leverage your scale in my favor. Can you do that in 2022?
Jim, I think a couple of things come to mind. The first is that we've got these stores so close to people that we can do fresh and perishable delivery along with the rest of the Supercenter fast and at Walmart prices. So sometimes people get focused on an annual membership fee or other aspects. The cost of goods matters too. And if you look across a basket of Walmart goods,
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Delivered same day from supercenters, including fresh and perishable. That's differentiated, and we are being aggressive in that space. We can do other things too, though, like what we're doing right now with giving customers, Walmart Plus members, I should say, early access to special items for the holiday. And that's something that's proving to be very popular. We'll keep finding more ways to make you want to be a Walmart Plus member. But right now, getting you fresh and perishable food at Walmart prices fast is a pretty compelling offer.
Well, Doug, I've got to thank you so much for coming on Squawk on the Street. It is great to see you. And I agree with you that the long term, if America gets a bargain, Walmart stock is going to prove to be a bargain right now. Doug McMillon, CEO at Walmart. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you all.
Carl.
Busy morning, guys. We got news on Tesla, Uber, Peloton, and more. Opening bell a few moments away.
Welcome back. We're going to squeeze in a mad dash, then we'll get to the opening bell. It's a week since GE said, hey, we're going to become three companies. It's going to take us a little while.
I love consistency, David. And the consistency we're getting from Stephen Tusk from JP Morgan is truly impressive. Today, he goes after the GE renewable business. Now, David, tell me if this is suboptimal. He says that the company's poorly positioned when it comes to portfolio mix, to margins, and most importantly, level of investments in technology. I think he's saying that this renewable business is not up to snuff. He thinks that the overvaluation is as much as $20 billion. And here's my favorite line, because you know, Tusa is an artist, not just a scientist. The thrill of ESG more than offset by the agony of fossil. The agony of fossil. Have you ever heard of that? The agony of fossil.
He's, yes, you say, he's consistent, Jim, is Tucson GE. Carl?
Guys, there's the opening bell. Watching Brett fill in a little bit here at the big board. It's ratings and analytics firm Moody's. At the NASDAQ, it's healthcare company Viatris celebrating its first anniversary. Jim, we'll keep our eye on the retailers. And I guess, as by extension, some yields as well. 30-year, once again, above 2. And you got the 10-year 1.634. That's going to be the highest since late October.
You know, it's funny. You listen and reflect on what Doug McMillon said, which is, of course, 200 million people go to Walmart each week. And they are an inflation fighter. And everyone just says, listen, inflation is really not transitory. Don't believe them. The Fed is way too liberal, too soft. Walmart stock is down $2. And that's completely reflecting the idea that they refuse to raise price. So if they refuse to raise price, it shows you that you can still get a bargain in this country. David, you know that Walmart literally is sacrificing margin in order to be able to make it to take share. But the ultimate impact is that the consumer is not as strapped if they go to Walmart.
Right. So that should work. That's been the plan, as Mr. McMillon said, since the days of Sam Walton. And it's worked pretty well. But it hasn't worked for the stock price over the last year, Jim. You seem to be in the camp that says it will, over time, be reflected in the stock price. Obviously, we heard McMillon say the same thing.
Right. Well, look, my Chapel Trust owns it. I'm going to be talking about it a lot when I do my investment club forecast, because I think that what he's saying is, look, we have to invest. We have to take share. We do have Flipkart. David, the thing that was odd was that your question, what was he most excited about? China. And then after that, India. You didn't get that level of excitement, did you, David, about America?
No, the growth, you know what, their growth there was stronger, and they seem to be further ahead in their efforts when it comes to e-commerce in those countries, in part because a lot of it began that way, and with the Flipkart acquisition, it's true.
Nobody listen, cares. 20,
you know, yeah, I mean, it's, well, you know, it's $140 billion, what, or so in sales, right? And only $23 billion is... is international. So percentage-wise, it's still not that large.
But consider Home Depot. I mean, that's why, Carl, when you started, you said, which is more important? I mean, Home Depot, man, this is a $400 billion company. It's up 14. And why? Because they're passing on everything. I mean, Walmart, you go to the aisles at the same price as it was a year ago. Home Depot, things are more expensive, but they're still buying. I mean, go back over that Stanley Black & Decker call, Carl. They're raising price, and they're saying they're going to get that price. Paint costs, they are all getting their price. When you say get price, Carl, that means that Home Depot is passing it on, the contractors are paying, and then you're paying if you're making your house better. You are paying. So you're not paying if you go buy lettuce at Walmart. You are paying if you're trying to get your place better to be able to have a home office.
Yeah, it's a great point, Jim. Using Walmart as a check on inflationary concerns. I don't know if you noticed last 24 hours, Morgan Stanley basically said the auto chip shortage is over. Baltic Dry is now down 50% from the October peak. This morning, the IEA comes out and says the end of the oil rally is in sight because these inventories are not getting drawn down as we thought. I mean, maybe it's demand destruction, but clearly there are some checks on inflation.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have these people come on all morning and people come on and say, well, David, it's structural. It's not coming down. I mean, forget it. I mean, it's like really bad and the consumer's hurt. I don't know. You know who's hurt? The Walmart shareholder, okay? Because the Walmart is giving the bargain to the person who shops there, not to the person who owns the stock. Yes, it's true. Home Depot, the prices are up, but they have no choice because if you go to Whirlpool, they had to raise the price. Why? Because steel's more expensive. Why did Black & Decker have to raise the price? Because they're importing from China. So, David, some people are passing on, but the vast majority, David, the margins aren't going up that much. And I think that people are overstating inflation and making it sound like it's forever. David, those people are negatives.
All right, well, you've been in that camp for a while. You and I were having this conversation at least a year ago. I remember when we were sitting 30 feet apart in our New Jersey headquarters. I mean, after
well,
a while, 3, transitory does become...
Well, miles apart. It's even safer.
Yeah. It's true. It is even safer, although we're very safe. Guys, I have to talk about Peloton because it's fascinating me this morning. Their decision to sell $1 billion, or perhaps if they exercise the green shoe... what may be as much as $1.15 billion in stock. Stock's up. Interesting. Stock's up. Even though, after talking to a number of people this morning, many see it as a clear indication this is a company that simply has no visibility whatsoever, whether it's into its supply chain or ultimate demand, what Christmas is going to look like. And I mention that because, I mean, they're selling stock at the lows. And yet,
it does appear,
Jim, that they're getting investors in there, perhaps who are willing to take a long-term view. Yes, Jim.
Go over that conference call where the CFO said, listen, one thing we want to make clear, we don't need money. No, we don't need money.
November 4th.
No money here. We're fine. I mean, unbelievable.
There
unbelievable.
We don't see the need for any additional capital raise based on our current outlook. As we mentioned, we're taking significant steps to adjust our expenses across cost of goods sold and operating expenses with revised revenue guidance. We have a lot of levers to pull. That was the 4th of November. 4th of November. So what is it? The 16th? 12 days later. Oh, we're selling $1.15 billion in stock. Thank you very much. But I'm surprised to see the stock up. It was down sharply yesterday. There may have been some wall crossing going on as the underwriters started to try and see what the appetite potentially would be for this sale of stock. But down. You did have some sales yesterday. It's clearly, maybe people knew about it. I don't know, Carl. But fascinating from a corporate finance standpoint. They chose to do this now. And, Jim, I don't know what it says about their visibility, except they simply have none. But they're getting the cushion that perhaps they need to see them through what clearly is a period of some difficulty in terms of assessing demand and or what they can actually get.
The 12 days since they told us they didn't need the money, and now they need the money? When I saw John Foley recently, he told me I was picking on his company. Carl,
yeah.
You know what? The prosecution rests.
Guys, a lot of news in EVs. Lucid, that's a fresh, 9-month high. Rivian, Jim.
No earnings.
Bigger,
that's what
Rivian
we want.
Now has a bigger market cap than Volkswagen.
Wow. Rivian's bigger than Volkswagen. Okay, so Ford gets $15 billion from Rivian. They're not friends, by the way. Let's just make it very clear. They're not friends. They're not buddies, not pals. They're competitors. Ford may be the winner of this, but they got to sell. and they got to build battery plants, and they got to electrify. David, if you don't electrify, you are ICE. Well, internal combustion engine.
Understood. Let's not forget the infrastructure bill got signed. That's $7.5 billion for EV charging, which is going to be very important to the ability to roll out in a much broader way electric vehicles, because you got to have places to charge them if you're going to have a lot of people driving them all over the place. We'll see how quickly that money actually is translated into starting to have a nationwide network in a real way that's more robust than currently. But Rivian, I don't know what you say, $140 billion market value.
I mean,
Carl.
Enough already with the Rivian, right?
Billion. What do you mean enough already?
It's well, I'm saying that people keep buying it. I mean, who did they place it with? They must have placed it with the greatest accounts on earth.
I told you that day one.
I know you
were
did.
Sitting here. I did.
I know I you. It was a you. Great scoop. You had a great scoop, okay?
Oh, scoop. But I did tell you it was not going anywhere. The book was incredibly solid. Well, it was sovereign funds, big growth funds, and they were not going to be sellers.
Well,
maybe they are now.
Ford,
I mean, how
Ford
can you not sell at $140 billion?
Ford should announce that they want to sell theirs in a block right now. Do you think the stock would go up or down after Peloton?
They own 12% of the company, I think, right?
They should blow it out.
Yeah, 10%.
They should blow. Jim Farley, if you're listening, blow out your Rivian. Let me see if he just agreed.
Meanwhile, Tesla, Musk sells another $900 million or so, exercising some options. We'll watch that because $994 on Tesla, Jim, is a bear market from the all-time intraday high.
Yeah. Look, there seems to be an endless amount of money for anything that's EV and no money for anything that is earnings right now. I mean, it's incredible when you look at it. Well, Home Depot's earnings, but what people are excited about are pie in the sky. That's why I'm going to Lucid today, Carl. I got to find, I mean, Lucid, yes, they're making 17,000 cars. They're going to raise that number. 17,000. That's all they're making. Now, Rivian, Amazon will buy every single truck they have. But I am absolutely just astonished by how much people want these stocks. Astonished.
I mean, Lucid's market value is the same as Ford's. It's the same as Ford's, basically.
Well, we got to stop comparing everything to Ford.
Why? Well, I got to compare things. I like my little market cap comparisons. By the way, back to retail, Home Depot is bigger than Walmart. I don't know if that's happened before, but it's happening now.
China's 45% bigger than the United States.
Increase in the stock price during the course of the year. Walmart hasn't gone up, so Home Depot now has a larger market value than Walmart.
Well, I don't know what to say. What do you want me to say?
That nothing. I'm just
Walmart should have raised prices.
And Netflix has a bigger market cap than Disney. And AMD is getting very close to Intel's. You know, it's just interesting to keep track of these things.
Well, how about you didn't even mention NVIDIA, which is larger than every semiconductor company in the country, if you add them all up. There. Because it's not a semiconductor company. And Rivian is not an auto company. And Lucid is not an auto company. These are delivery mechanisms for technology. And we got to stop it.
All right. Well, if they're delivery mechanisms for technology, then that's why Apple should get involved in that business. And if and when
well,
they do, what's that going to mean?
Ford stole Apple's car guy. Farley is aggressive. Farley told me yesterday he wants to take no prisoners. Take no prisoners against Musk. TNP?
Well,
he invoked TNP.
13, 14 bill, whatever. I don't know what the number would be after taxes for them, but it probably would help, wouldn't it?
Carl, if Ford Motor closed down all of its internal combustion engines and just did the F-150, okay, returned all the spare cash it has, would Ford therefore be bigger than Ford?
That's pretty meta, to speak, Jim.
Oh,
hey, we mentioned Elon Musk and some selling of stock. Uber. Dara is going to buy some, and you got Uber up 3% today. Also over at DraftKings, Robin's buying about 400,000 shares. All those shares not responding in kind, Jim. That's been a tough run for the last couple of months.
Yeah, you know, I look at Uber. I mean, I know we come back to something that David said when Uber first started. They have to be self-driving. They can't be in a situation where they have to continually pay more for drivers. David, where is the self-driving Uber?
It's not here yet. It's not here yet.
Is Dara buying stock because he thinks it's going to happen? Because it's certainly not from his current business
model. I remember meeting with Travis Kalanick, the founder. This is years ago, and we were in New York, and he was pointing out there. He's like, soon, it's going to be all autonomous. You're never going to need a garage. I remember him saying that. It's going to change everything. Nobody's going to take mass transit. I mean, went on and on. What are we going to do with all the garages that need to be repurposed?
That's what he said?
That's exciting. Yeah, that was supposed to be here by now, Jim.
Let's give him a show. You know, can we give him a show with Newman? How about the Kalanick and Newman show?
I don't know. Either one of them are going to be happy that you put the two of them together like that.
Carl, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking outside the box. I mean, Newman was a great visionary with WeWork, and Kalanick was a great visionary with with Uber there. Yeah.
Well, he was with Uber, and autonomous is going to make a significant change in that model if and when it gets here, if they do have fleets and what they'll be able to do, Jim. There's no doubt. Just a question of when.
Can't happen soon enough. You know what? I'm going to talk to Intel today, Pat Gelsinger. He's got Mobileye. Maybe he has some solutions. I'm like 10 bears in Outlaw Josie Wales. I come in peace when it comes to Intel.
We're all looking forward to that interview. I know. But are you going to bring the heat, or are you going to, you know, just sort of be really nice?
I'm trying to figure that out right now. I don't know. I'm kind of heat-oriented. What do you think, Carl? Softball? Okay. Hardball? Fastball? I'm not the Rams. I'm the Niners. Who would have thought?
They looked good. They looked really
Didn't
good.
Didn't they?
Jim. Yeah.
Holy cow. Hey, you know who turned out to be Stafford?
Here.
Stafford.
Yep. And HD's adding about 100 of those points. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
That's right. It's all about consumer discretionary today, Carl. The important thing is look at those retail sales numbers. They were just terrific. Home Depot is great on the comps. Walmart great on the comps. So it's a day for the retailers. Bodes very well for the retail reports that we're going to be getting in the next few days. There's consumer discretionary. That's a new historic high for the consumer discretionary sector. Healthcare up. It's been basically lagging this month, so that's nice to see. Tech stronger. Even though some of the semis are down today, industrials doing well, banks finally taking a little bit of a breather. They were strong yesterday. I hope you saw that terrific interview with the Walmart CEO, really laid out why they were doing so well. But it's very important to point out, these are great comp store sales. Domestic up 9.2%. Wow, that was way above expectations. The traffic was strong, up 5.7%. The ticket was up nicely, 3.3%. Here's what's interesting. E-commerce was only up 8%. Folks, that means that most of these gains on the revenue side was in stores. People were going back to stores. E-commerce is still a small part of the overall business. So I thought that was a very good sign for people going back in here. And by the way, the gross margins, they were just a little bit down, not dramatically. So I think another good sign. Home Depot was kind of curious. Did you see these numbers here? What was interesting was the traffic was actually down 5.5%, but the ticket was up 13%. What does that mean? Well, it indicates maybe some fewer people in the stores, but the what they were spending on, the big ticket items, kitchen upgrades, was very high. That 12.9% for the ticket, that's a very impressive number. And gross margins here only down 4 basis points. So very, very small decline in gross margins. So what does this mean? Sales are great, comp store sales are great, and gross margins only very, very small deterioration. That's a very good sign. Look at this, Home Depot. This is the story all year. Walmart's flat on the year. Home Depot's up more than 40%. That's another historic high, 384 there for Home Depot. So Home Depot's just killing it this year. These reports, very good news for the overall retailers for earnings season, at least for the biggest guys. Now, remember, we're going to be getting Target, TJX, Macy's all in the next few days. We'll keep an eye on all of those. But generally, these reports, very good sign. Meantime, fund managers. Bank of America Merrill Lynch has an annual fund manager survey. Global fund managers, my heavens, they are bullish. Only 61% think inflation is transitory. Permanent, 35%. Powell's going to be very happy to look at those numbers. How many rate hikes are they expecting? Almost all of them are expecting just 2 rate hikes next year. And a good percentage are only actually expecting 1 rate hike. Look at that. Again, Powell will be very happy to see that. None, 13, 3, 8%. Very small minority are expecting more than 2 rate hikes. What are they owning? Boy, they are very long tech stocks. Some of them apparently are long Bitcoin because that's amongst the crowded trade. And here's something interesting. I haven't seen this before. Long ESG. Generally, crowded trades indicate a little bit of you're sticking your neck out pretty far there, Carl, for some of these fund managers. So keep an eye on that. ESG may or may not have peaked in 2021, but still getting a lot of assets under management. Carl, back to you.
talk to you in a bit about Bassani. As we go to break, let's take a look at Vons today. A lot of good eco data crossing the tape this morning. As we've said, retail sales is a beat, up three straight months. Industrial production, cap utilization, post-COVID high. We're about 10 minutes out from business inventories and NAHB. Got the 30-year back below two. We're back in a moment.
We save people money and help them live a better life. Those are the words that came out of Sam Walton's mouth. He loved to fight inflation. So do we. So, yeah, our cost inflation is higher than our retail inflation, and we could decide to pass more of that on. We're passing enough of that on to deliver for shareholders. I mean, the EPS results speak for themselves. But we're proud to try and hold prices down. And our conversations with suppliers today, tomorrow will be, you know, how can you help us roll back prices and swim upstream and be different than everybody else? Now, we'll balance things. You know, you can see in the quarterly results that that's what we did. But we start out trying to figure out how to help people save money.
That's Doug McMillon of Walmart with us earlier in the hour talking about inflation, Jim, and that balance between protecting margins and taking some share.
I wonder if they're going to have a changing shareholder base, Carl. I know, look, it's a great growth company. And again, my charitable trust owns it. They're not being at all rewarded by this current shareholder base for doing what they're doing. I know that people don't seem to even care about what will happen in 2022 because they've bought some sort of loyalty. David, who's interested in a company, and I'm just conjecturing, would be interested in a company that takes a long-term view, that wants to keep prices down, thinking that ultimately the consumer will reward them. Is it possible to be rewarded now on Wall Street for what you're doing to Main Street?
Yeah, it is. But, it, you know, when you look at your point's an interesting one, Jim. And it does appear with Walmart in particular, it goes through periods when it suddenly is rewarded after not being. I would also point out that the Walmart heirs are still enormous owners of this stock. And it's an important point to make. It allows McMillon a lot of freedom to make those investments he's talking about without concern, really, necessarily, from the broader shareholder base, so to speak. I mean, what, they still own, Jim, almost 50% of the stock? I think they're right around there, aren't they still?
Yes, and I guess they, look, they obviously love what Doug's doing. I applaud it, but I'm not one of these people who invest with the Great American Inflation Fighters, Carl. I want a big buyback. I want them to take advantage of how much the stock's down, Carl. I did not hear that.
Jim, of course, we got to remind our viewers you can get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Cramer. Sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/investingclub or just use the QR code on the screen. Got the Dow up almost 200 here as the 10-year yield has backed off a touch. Back in a moment. Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
All right, I'm going to take a ride in a Lucent Air. Why not go for a Lucent Air? They go 0 to 80 in 10 seconds. Well, actually, 2 seconds or 1 second. Square, CFO. Obviously, Amrita, she speaks for the company. You hardly ever see Jack Dorsey. And then Pat Gelsinger is going to explain why Intel is going to regain its leadership over AMD and NVIDIA. And it could be a big task.
Wow, how about that? If this Lucent is any indication of what the rest of the week's like, Jim, we're in for a treat all week long.
It's just going to get better and better. It's because I like to destroy the competition. I mean, because I'm a competitive person. I mean, you know, I mean, like, hey. I love you guys. David, thank you for not giving me COVID from 3,000 miles.
You're welcome. I don't have it to begin with, but you're welcome.
Yeah, stay safe. Do you buy an X today?
Yes.
I buy an X every day out here.
Do you?
I buy an X now.
We never even mentioned Pfizer licensing the antiviral.
Yep.
It's another big story, but next time, Jim, we'll see you tonight, if not before.
Okay,
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Dow's up 190. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground.
See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.